Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
One of the most important things a local church should be involved in is missions. And we're not going to call it around my church or across the street or around the world. We should be involved in missions. Nathan, in one of the first churches that I pastored, there was a lady, and she's one of the three people that I credit with teaching me more about missions than anyone. I'd taken missions in seminary and took some in college leading to that, but she taught me a lot. And what she would say, she'd call me pastor, and she'd say, "Pastor, we shouldn't separate those at home and foreign." That's how she used it. She said, "We're on mission for God." And she demonstrated that in every way. I saw her ministering to people locally. And then she supported so many foreign missionaries. She and her husband had the financial ability to do that. And she supported missionaries from different locations. And when they would come home on furlough, we got to hear them because of she and her husband's ministry. And that taught me a lot. Hey, we're to be on mission for God. Wherever God leads, wherever God calls us, we're not to be so exclusive. No, we can't go over there. That's not in our territory. We need to be on mission for God.
Yeah, God doesn't have a lot of our arbitrary boundaries that we place on things. We're only limiting ourselves ultimately. Really, we want the Bible to shape how you think about missions. And there's nothing natural in our minds that would lead us to do missions the way the Bible teaches us to. We have to see it differently. We have to have a paradigm shift in our minds. We have to be led by the Spirit and see what it's teaching us and how to go about doing it. Otherwise, we're going to miss out on a lot of things that God's wanting us to do.
And we're not talking about just forgetting what's going on around you. No, we are mindful of the needs around us. He that cares not for his own is worse than a pagan, the Bible says. And I think that's true within a church. They put a premium on helping the widows, the fatherless, and strangers. Now, again, that has become, what is a stranger? You know what it is. Well, in those days, it was those people that were passing through that land, and usually they were passing through because where God, I talk about this a lot. I know I'm geographically minded. You know that, Nathan. Where God placed them is where three continents basically joined. And so you would go from Asia to Europe or Europe to Africa or whatever it is. It was in that territory that God originally gave to Abraham and his descendants. And he said, this is what you're to do when people pass through. And guess what? The Ethiopian eunuch passed through, and guess what he did? He took the gospel back to Ethiopia. And that's what we're talking about, is taking it, and otherwise we limit God. And you say, how can a limitless God be limited? Well, I want to go to the Old Testament, Psalm 78, verse 41. This is a good Bible study for those of you that might be listening, and I got the idea from John E. Hunter. He's an unusual author, but he's the one that kind of put me on this. And I looked at it and said, how can you limit God? Here it is. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. How do you limit God? You do not turn him loose in your life to do what he wants to do to carry out his mission. They limited God. Again and again, they tempted God. In other words, when you're tempting God, by that means you are disobeying him and you're not carrying out his plans for your life. You're limited him in your life, and they limited what God wanted to do in Israel. So, Nathan, God wants to do great works in us. And what the work he does in us, he wants to do the work through us.
Yes.
And we limit him by not fulfilling and not doing. We can limit him financially. We can limit him with our time. And we can be selfish with everything. And I want to ask you, not only individuals, what about churches? Could they possibly be guilty of this?
Yeah, I agree. In my mind, what's coming to me is a picture or two pictures you have, and it's been used before. We probably, most of us have heard this analogy, but you have two seas or two large lakes, two bodies of water in ancient Israel, even there today. You have the Sea of Galilee, and it has an inflow of water, but then it also has an outflow of water, and it's healthy. There's fish. Life is thriving in and around. It's an important body of water in Israel. And then you go further down the Jordan River, so you get to the Dead Sea. It has an inflow of water, but it has no outflow. And it's called the Dead Sea for a reason. And so that's really what you're saying. We can make it about us and our desires, our preferences, our comfort, and we don't have an outflow. We put a limit, we put a boundary, we put a barrier where God's blessing is dammed up and stopped up, and we want to keep it for ourselves. What actually ends up happening? There's that life doesn't flow through us. Or we can be that channel of blessing. We can be that vessel that distributes life that's in Jesus to others. So anyway, I don't know if that's what you had in mind, but that's what pictured in my mind.
It is. And the other part of this, and this is Psalm 78, and the psalmist is running through the history of Israel as a nation, and you read it, it's amazing, but right in there in the middle, the reason I read that is it's right in the middle. You go back to verse 9, and it tells you one of the things they did that God wanted to do. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. Now, here it is. In the time they should stand up, they had the material, they had what they needed, and we don't know exactly why. Usually, sometimes, guess what it is? Fear.
Mm-hmm.
Fear keeps them from stepping out. In missions, a lot of times, it's fear that keeps people from doing what they need to do, fear of talking to someone, fear of whatever you might be asked. So here they were being armed and carrying bows. They had the armor. They had what was needed. But in the day of battle, when it came time to do the work God wanted them to do, they turned back.
They were equipped, but when it got difficult, they turned away.
I've heard this analogy as well. You know, if you had a great car, I will not name a sports car. I got it in my brain, but I won't name it. But anyway, and you keep it in the garage all the time, never run it. And you go out there and you can keep it shined. You can keep it everything you want. And when people come, you say, come see my car. But you never take it out of the garage. Honestly, what good's it going to be? And here it is, God, the Bible says, has given us everything we need for life and godliness in this present world. And we're keeping ourselves in our garage, Nathan. You catch my drift on that? And so God has equipped us. He's equipped the church to do the work that God's called us to do as a church. And he's got the people there. The Bible says over in the book of Corinthians and Ephesians and in also Romans that we've been equipped with gifts that God has given us, and we're to use them to encourage, to exalt the Savior, and to evangelize. We really are. We're to encourage the church, and we're to evangelize. And if we're not careful, we will limit God in keeping it inside ourselves and inside our Sunday school class, inside our home group, inside our four walls of our church, and make it all about us.
Yeah.
I'm saying that God has given us everything we need, and we need to step out in faith, not in fear.
Yeah.
And
you're saying there's a readiness. We've been made ready and equipped, but there might not be a willingness. We're not saying yes to the Lord.
Satan can so discourage He can let fear dominate us. Any tool that he can use to keep us from being on the mission that God has called us. And I know I said limit. That God is limitless, but you're limited in what God can do through you. I think there's a lot of people out there, they can do more. I'm going to do something personal. I knew God had called me to speak and to preach. And you're talking about somebody shy. I was qualified. People say, I don't believe
that.
Yeah,
it's hard to believe at this point.
I know, but it was, and I tell you it was. And I tell folks, Goober and Gomer on Andy Griffith had nothing on me in English language. I can tell you that. And God called me, and yet God, and it was fearful. I think the first sermon I shared this that I preached was about 15 minutes, and if I'd left out the uhs and the ahs, it'd been about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But small beginnings, but God, if you step out in faith, you find yourself standing when it's God. So do not let fear dominate. Fear is a tactic of Satan to cause you to step back and not go into the battle. Oh, if I go into that battle, yeah, it's a battle. One more example on that, and this is from Joshua chapter 3, when the children of Israel were about to go into the promised land, and it says that you're to follow the ark, and God would give us the victory. Now, in chapter 3, verse 10, it writes and tells all the people that were in the nation of that was they were occupying. They were all kinds of the Jebusites, the Girgashites, 7 of them. And you remember what they had said 40 years earlier when Caleb and Joshua went in? There's giants in the land. They're fortified cities. They have armies. Guess what? That had not changed in 40 years. They were not any weaker then than they were at that time. Mm. But God says, go in and occupy the land. Now, here it is. I want to ask you this, Nathan. I know you played church league softball, and I did as well. Did you ever go to a game when the other team had to forfeit the game because they didn't have quite enough players there?
Yes, I've been on both sides of that, yes.
Okay. Well, I want to ask you, did you go home bragging about, oh, they forfeited? No.
No.
Because there was what? No conflict.
Right.
No conflict.
Yeah, there's nothing to brag about.
Nothing to brag about when they forfeit. But if the other team did show up and you're going at it and you hit the game winning hit, no matter if it's a home run or a single, what would you do, man? I know what I did. I acted like John Wayne and walked in and I said, you should have been there.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there victory without conflict?
No.
There's not. And yet it causes us to sit on the sideline many times in missions, not doing what God's called us to do, either in giving financially, praying the way we should, supporting others, and going on mission trips, or even saying, God, if you're wanting me to go, I'm willing to go.
Yeah, God has not given us a spirit of fear, so that doesn't originate with God. But just thinking in my own life, and since you're doing that, I'll do that a little bit. Some of the thoughts and fears that have come into my life when it came time to realize, hey, God is calling me to do this, to step out and to go where he's sending. Some thoughts are, and there's some fears associated with them. So it's, how will I survive and support my family? That was one of them. What about physical dangers, the people there or the circumstances in the place where I was to go might have been seen as a little bit more dangerous, and what do I do there? What do I do about my children's education? That was a big concern and fear. What do people at home, my friends and family, what do they think about me? That was probably some pride in that too. So those are just some immediate things that came to mind. There's so many more. We're faced with those fears when God calls us to do something. When we realize, hey, we have a role to play in this mission, the fears immediately come to mind in the foreground. So yes, we have to face them before there could be victory.
Okay. Continuing in Psalm 78, and I really do believe, if you have time, it's a long psalm, 72 verses, but if you read it, it's just a regathering of the history of how God operated and what their response was, and how they did not do certain things and they did certain things. Over in verse 56 and 57, listen to this. It says, "Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimonies." Listen to verse 57. "But turned back and acted unfaithfully like their fathers. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow." Now, again, they turned back. And notice that's the same term that's used in verse 9, turn back. And again, like a deceitful bow.
So you had arrows, archers in verse 9. Here you have more of that.
Yes.
Along with a bow.
Same. So it's always a battle. That's the whole idea. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a conflict. Jesus, he didn't make it easy. He said, "Come follow me, and you're going to have it easy." No, he let us know we were going to have difficulty the rest of the way. He said, "Take up your cross and follow me daily." These are the things, and following Christ and being missional in your journey, it's not easy. And I hope Exploring Missions, the people we've interviewed and the difficulties they had, and you and I, we've given several examples of missionaries in the past that lost their lives, that would lose their family, difficulties, hardship, went with the territory, but they were called of God. When I think of Paul, listen, he was in prison. You go over that list, he was whipped and stoned and imprisoned, shipwrecked, kind of had it rough. But here it says they turned aside like a deceitful bow. Now, here's the deceitful part of it. It looks okay, but looks are deceiving. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know that much about archery, but I've talked to quite a few folks about archery. The bow itself needs to be in line. In other words, where the end of the bow is and the top and the bottom, it needs to be lined. It needs to be of the right material so it will not break, but it will bend. The string must be tight enough, but not too tight. And so it looks like it's ready, but in reality, the arrow doesn't go where it is aimed.
Yeah.
That's the deceitful part of it.
It won't shoot straight.
It will not shoot straight. And so here, what they turned back like a deceitful bow, they did not target the things they needed to target. They did not go in the correct direction. And so what I think you were going to add and talk about has something to do that we need to be on target with God. God has given us what we need. So we don't need to limit him like the car and staying in the garage. We don't need to limit him by turning back when God has given us what we need for the day of battle. Mm. And we need to go in the correct direction and use what God has given us. And it is the gospel. It's the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is the power of the Word of God.
Mm. And just to add what the next verse in Psalm 78, verse 58, continues. "Like a faulty bow, they also enraged him with their high places and provoked his jealousy with their carved images." They might have looked religious, but they were full of idolatry.
Yeah.
And how do we limit God, or how are we limited in the mission that God has given us to accomplish? Well, we might love things greater than God. There might be things in our life that we put higher than he is in our lives. We have more affection or maybe things of this world, or it could even be the religion itself. In some of the years that I've spent working with, training, and helping to equip missionaries, future missionaries, pre-field training that we would give them, sometimes you would see people who wanted to be a missionary, and they were enamored with the idea of missions, and they loved the idea, the concept of missions, and being a missionary more than they loved Jesus, more than they loved the one who was sending them. And so that's maybe what some of this verse is referring to also.
I know you got it. Let me say this and interject this. Churches that are on mission, and then when missionaries come to give a report, and as pastor, man, we do thank them, and we even, I would say, elevate them to say, man, this is your sacrifice, your service, which they rightly they do. But those people sitting out there, man, if they have a little selfishness in them, they're enamored with the praise and all that. They enable, but it's got to be a calling to those. But you've got to be determined and not turn back in the day of battle, and not be that deceitful bow that looks like the part. Make sure your heart is right, and not have other areas of your life that's driving you to the ministry that God's called you to.
Yeah. So real quickly, just kind of springboarding off of what you've said and passages there in Psalm 78, looking at Luke chapter 10, and as Jesus was sending out the 70 or 72 here in this chapter, he gave them some instructions. He actually gave them three important warnings, and basically he was preparing them for difficulties so they would not turn back in the day of battles. So they would get their priorities in order, and then that they would also be able to face their fears and gain victory. So here's what Jesus said. This is Luke 10, and I'll just start with verse 2. The harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, go. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Sounds like conflict, right? Don't carry a money bag, traveling bag, or sandals. Don't greet anyone along the road. Now we'll stop there. That's verse 4, Luke 10, 2 through 4. And those verses seem a little bit odd sometimes as we read them. But I think in those verses you see three difficulties that Jesus is preparing his workers for, gospel workers, his followers, followers of Jesus who have been sent out into the world to make disciples, to preach the good news, to live out the kingdom that Jesus is bringing, the rule of the kingdom. And hey, that's what we are here to do, right? We're also sent out to do that very same thing. And we don't want to shrink back. We don't want to turn back because of fear. We don't want to turn back because we are actually rebelling in our hearts against God. So what do these verses mean? What are they talking about? Real quickly, first, you want to watch out for fatal dangers. He says, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. So there's fatal dangers. There are real things to be afraid of. There are real challenges. There are really hard, difficult places that God might send us. And Jesus doesn't cut corners. He's not hiding them from us. He's like, it's not going to be that bad, guys. No. He's like, it's tough. You're a sheep, and there's wolves out there.
And there's a big difference.
There is. And what's the one only defense mechanism that a sheep might have? It's to stay close to the shepherd.
That's it.
That's the only hope that a sheep has, right? Yeah. If there's wolves around, you want to be as close to the shepherd as you can be. And so that's what he was telling them, to watch out for the fatal dangers that await you as you go on mission. You're going like sheep among wolves. Then he says, don't take some things. Don't take a money bag. Don't take extra change of clothes, you know, like a suitcase. Don't carry extra shoes because you're going to wear yours out. And what do you do when you wear out your only pair of shoes? Are you going to have to go barefoot? Maybe. The potential is there to not be provided for. And so Jesus is warning them to watch out for false dependencies. So we can depend on a lot of things, material things, other types of things in this world other than him. But he doesn't want us to. If we're going to be effective on mission and faithful in our mission, we have to totally, completely depend and rely on him.
It's not just a program, is it?
That's right. And I'm not saying we lose our common sense as we go out on mission, but we definitely don't want to depend on things that are not of him and they're not from his hand. So all the money that we can have, or once I save up this much, I'll start obeying you now, Lord. Or I don't know, I just got to have a backup plan or a backup to my backup plan. Watch out for those false dependencies. And third, watch out for friendly distractions. He says, don't greet anyone on the road. In other words, Jesus has given them a place to go, a mission field to land in, a place to serve, a specific focus, a target. And we can get distracted along the way. Before we get there, we can get off track with even some good things. but they might not be the best thing that he has for us. And so let's not turn back because of friendly distractions that await us. All these things are awaiting us as we live on mission. Fatal dangers, false dependencies, friendly distractions. Let's look to the one who has sent us out. He goes with us.
Do you think, Nathan, that, and I'm just going to say churches in general and individuals as well, we're doing a lot of the good things and not doing the best things?
Yeah. Yeah, we miss it a lot.
We miss it a lot. It's good to have all the things that we have. Is it worse to have a pothole in your parking lot or miss a payment to a missionary somewhere? When I hear all those lists, I think of it one word, and that's priority.
Yeah.
What are our priorities in our life? And I really do believe we miss God's best by concentrating on things that we love. I know we all have passions and heart, but we want God's heart. Yeah. And that's the whole idea. That's what Exploring Missions, one of the purposes that we have determined that this program wants to do is, what is God's heart for the nations? God's heart for the nations is them to hear about Jesus Christ. He's the one to give the increase.
Yeah.
We're to share with the nations. And the old Christmas song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, that Jesus Christ is born.
I think it's a year-round song, but yeah.
I like it all year-round too. But go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. And that is the purpose of the local church. It's the responsibility of an individual that God's called us to. So listen to this again. I want to read the verse that we started with, Nathan. It says, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. That verse scares me to death, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit God in my life, and I know I'm afraid I have. We don't want to limit God in our family, in our church. Don't limit God. Let God use you. He's equipped you. He's giving you direction. So follow Him and let Him lead you in every way that God would get the glory and honor. Thank you for listening to Exploring Missions. We appreciate you and you telling others about this program so that we can all be on mission for God.